For more on this, let's go to Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont Independent. Senator, good to have you with us tonight.
Great to be with you.
You bet. Tonight, I mean this afternoon, whatever. Your thoughts on the big three. I mean, you have been a proponent to make sure that the middle class and the elderly and the downtrodden don't pay for our economic woes in this country, that we got to get more revenue streams from the corporations. You got legislation on the table about that. But what did you think of the big three last night?
Well, it's no great secret. At a time when the middle class is disappearing, we've just seen some horrendous reports about what happens to working class young people whose incomes now compared to where they were 10, 15 years ago is much, much lower. We have 46 million people living in poverty, almost the highest in recent American history. And at the same time, the wealthiest people are doing phenomenally well. And unfortunately, all of our Republican friends and the Obama administration, if they could get some kind of grand bill, big bill, a deficit reduction bill, they are prepared to cut Social Security through a so-called chain PI and cut benefits for disabled veterans. And I think that is just totally unacceptable, not only from a moral perspective. You don't balance the budget on people who have lost arms and legs in Iraq and Afghanistan or widows who have lost their husbands. You don't balance the budget on a $15,000 a year senior citizen in Vermont, a woman who's trying to survive, by cutting her Social Security benefits. So we have got to, and I'm happy to say that in opposition to the so-called chain CPI, you got the AFL-CIO, you have all of the veterans organizations, American Legion, all the rest. You have all of the senior groups. You have the disability groups. You have the women's groups. You have almost all of America saying, do not balance the budget on the backs of the elderly and the most vulnerable people. So we've got.
Well, the president said last night we need to be prepared to have changes.
He said more than that. They're prepared to go forward if they get some grand bargain. What the American people are saying is that when you have I'll give you a statistic that just came out the other day, Ed. The last study that we have seen just came out recently, from 2009 to 2011, 100%, more than 100% of all new income went to the top 1%. Got that? All of the new income. And in fact, while the top 1% did very, very well, the bottom 99% lost ground. They're worse off in 2011 than they were in 2009. You have, as you and I have discussed, one out of four major corporations not paying a nickel in taxes. You have this absurd tax haven situation where we're losing $100 billion every year because virtually all of these major corporations are stashing their money in the Cayman Islands, Bermuda, and elsewhere where they pay zero in taxes. And then you have the business roundtable, the guys who do this, coming into Washington and they say, we who are multi-millionaires, we who have fantastic retirement programs for ourselves, we think you should raise the Medicare eligibility rate, the age, to 70, Social Security age to 70. In other words, what they say, give us more tax breaks, and let's continue the assault, the class warfare against working families. That is exactly where we are today.
The president did use the term corporate profits. I have to say, and I put this to our team this morning, I haven't heard the president say that. I've heard him talk about income inequality. I've heard him talk about tax fairness. But last night, he used the phrase corporate profits. And I don't know if that's the first time, but it caught my attention. What was your reaction?
Well, I think you're right. I don't recall him using that often, that term often. And the reality is that we are seeing many corporations enjoying record-breaking profits. Meanwhile, in terms of their tax burden, the tax rate on profits at 12% is the lowest that it has been since 1972. So his point is a good point, and I hope he follows it up with a strong effort to raise revenue. Don't do it in a deficit neutral way, but raise revenue by ending many of these corporate loopholes, and certainly this whole business of tax havens in the Cayman Islands, where they can defer their taxes to the United States, has got to be dealt with. We have situations where ExxonMobil reported to the SEC a few years ago that after making significant profits, they paid nothing in taxes, but got a rebate from the IRS. So those are, if we're talking about revenue and how we move toward deficit reduction in a way that's fair, those are the issues that have to be addressed. Furthermore, if we understand that real unemployment today, counting those people who have given up looking for work and people who work in part-time, is 14%, and we have got to be aggressive in creating jobs. Now, the president, to his credit, did talk about job creation. But what that means, to my mind, is a massive investment in our infrastructure. The president talked about bridges. He's absolutely right. We need investment in roads, water systems, rail. We can create a whole lot of jobs. I just came from a hearing this morning, Ed, that was really knocked your socks off. It was on global warming. And we had four scientists there who were saying, you know what, in many ways the situation is much worse than we had originally thought. If we don't start significantly reducing greenhouse gas emissions, this planet is going to look very, very different for our grandchildren than it does for us. By the end of this century, we can be looking at 8 degrees of Fahrenheit warming of temperature, which will bring cataclysmic flooding, drought, all over the world and all over our country. We have to transform our energy system. When you do that, you can create jobs. So, you know, we have a real ability at this moment to start doing the things that we have to do to make our country more productive, to deal with global warming, and we can create a lot of jobs doing that, and I hope we will.
What was the highlight in the speech, Senator?
I would say what surprised me a little bit is his willingness to come out and say we've got to raise the minimum wage. In terms of, Ed, we got, you know, just a huge number of people in this country who are working 40 hours a week. Sometimes they're working 50 hours a week, and they're going nowhere in a hurry. After 40 hours of hard work, they're still living in poverty if they have some kids in the family. So what we have got to do is, A, create good-paying jobs, but B, for those people who are stuck in low-wage jobs, they've got to earn a living wage. I would go higher than $9 an hour, but that's certainly a good start.
Well, did Tom Harkin said this morning that he thought that the president missed the mark. I mean, he wants $10 an hour, and of course, you got John Boehner over there this morning, just pretty much mocking any kind of proposal to move the minimum wage up, because he says, you know, when we're trying to create jobs, here we are, you know, making it harder for those who are going to be doing the employing. For instance, he says, Boehner says minimum wage hike will take away the first couple rungs of the economic ladder and make it harder for people to get on the ladder. Here's another one. Why would we want to make it harder for small employers to hire people, Boehner says about the minimum wage?
Well, let me remind my friend Mr. Boehner that median earnings for male high school graduates have gone down by almost 50% after adjusting for inflation since 1969. What do you think about that?
Well, it's a shift of the wealth of the priority, and
right.
It's anti-worker, no doubt about that.
So what you have got to do in this country is create at least a floor. And, you know, I think it's something like 17, 18 states now have higher minimum wages than the federal government, because they understand that people just can't survive on the federal minimum wage. Tom Harkin is right. We should go higher than $9 an hour, and I'll work with him on that. But I'm glad at least the president brought forth that idea to make it clear that if somebody is working 40 hours a week and they have some kids, they should not be living in poverty.
Well, he was making the case that we've got too many people living below the poverty line. And, you know, 15 grand a year ain't going to cut it for anybody.
No, absolutely not.
And so, of course, the Republicans are against that, and they're against everything. They're even against voting.
Well, that's another good issue the president raised. But let me just mention this. You want to hear irony? The wealthiest family in this country is the Walton family that owns Walmart. They're worth more than $100 billion. Do you know who the largest welfare recipients are in the country? It's the Walton family. Because many of the people who work at Walton, guess what? Their wages are so low, their benefits are so minimal, they are on Medicaid, they are on food stamps. So in a sense, you have with Walmart a public-private relationship. The Walton family, the private people, they end up making huge profits. They're the wealthiest family in America. And the public ends up subsidizing the cost because the wages and benefits are so low that people there need Medicaid and food stamps. How's that for a good deal?
That's pretty much where the country is right now, no question about it. And the president did, I thought he hit all the marks last night. And my only contention was about a full-throated protection of the big three. And so that was the only thing that I would take issue with. Everything else, I thought it was very Obama. It was what he believes in, very progressive, and I think a good template to work from in this legislative session. It's, of course, this isn't your chamber, but I'm just totally amazed that the House is going home. We're facing a March 1st deadline, and they're going to take 10 days off. Just fine.
Well, that's something else. But the issue here, what we all have to appreciate, is that the outline, the economic outline that the president brought forth last night, is what the vast majority of the American people support.
No question.
Our Republican friends who want to cut Social Security and Medicare and protect tax breaks for the very wealthy, I would say they have 15-20% of the people supporting them. So we have got to take the case to the people and make our Republican friends an offer they can't refuse, that if they don't do what makes sense for the middle class, they're no longer going to be in power.
Senator Bernie Sanders here on the Ed Schultz Radio Show. Thank you, Senator. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Ed. Take care.
You bet.